I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
North Carolina, first in flight.
About gaining control of your life and letting go at the same time. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball. Grip it and rip it.
But this week, it's all about ball flight, bogeys, and birdies.
Watch the birdie.
This is Dirt and Sprague on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube, youtube.com/1080 AM The Fan. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. We've kind of been all over the place on this Monday.
We have. It's a very big day today. Very big day.
It is.
There's massive consequences tonight.
I circled this day 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, that's feels like it's going to be a fun, big show.
This tonight will potentially dictate how the next 5 to 10 years go. Like, it changes everything.
Yeah, I mean,
for the better or for worse, we don't know. Very slim chances it better, but it will, tonight potentially could change the entire outlook of your franchise.
I will give you the history of the lottery and what we're looking at right now.
Ooh.
Going into the lottery today, which will kick off at 4 o'clock our time.
So that's the start time, 4 p.m. our time?
And about 4:15, well, they'll delay about 5 to 10 minutes.
They'll
talk.
Come in, introduce everybody up on the podium.
They'll start, they'll commercial break.
Talk about who the top picks will be.
Yep.
They'll explain the rules.
The actual unveiling
of teams
is like 7 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long once they start going.
No, I remember doing the Scoot one with Danny live a couple years ago, and Mark Tatum does the reveal, and he does the reveal for Portland at 3, and we're like, ah! And by the time we even caught a breath, he was on to the second pick.
Yeah, by the team, just over. Yeah.
And then it's over, and then you talk about it.
All right, there we know.
So we'll get to that, but before we do, I want to remind you guys to mark on your calendars Tuesday, June 24th.
What?
We would love to see all you great listeners out there at the Fan Golf Classic, the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms, brought to you, of course, by our great friends, our local Toyota dealers, and it's also brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. Victor Rico's will be out there for breakfast and lunch. Matt's Barbecue will be out there as well. Foursomes can be found at 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for all the details and the link to purchase your foursome.
Holy catfish!
Holy catfish, indeed.
Can't wait!
We have a fake NBA trade that caught the internet a-buzzing last night.
Love fake NBA trade season.
Well, they're all so realistic.
Yes, they're all going to happen.
This team's definitely going to give us all the fun stuff.
Do we have a genesis of the origin of this?
We have the origin of this,
Where did it come from?
I will tell you who it came from. Mm. Who it came from. Not
who.
Where.
Not who.
Where. Hey, who.
Who it came from. I want to run through the history of the draft lottery with you folks.
What are our chances tonight? What are we looking at?
Well, let's just start with this, okay?
When did it actually begin?
They've done like different variations
of
this.
But the first time it was no longer, it used to just be a coin flip between the worst two teams.
The worst two teams had coin flips. Most of the tankathon stuff dates to 85.
Yes.
The history of the draft stops at 1985.
Yeah.
Now, the odds have obviously changed in the last just couple years of our lives with the top three teams and the odds.
Evened them out.
But before that, the percentage chances were different. And before, they've changed it like four times since they've created
it. When they first
this.
Started it, it was everybody that didn't make the playoffs had the same. They just put your envelopes in the big thing and turned it around.
Pulled your envelope out.
That's what they should go back to.
They should.
You want to get rid of this awful 17-win season by the Utah Jazzes
there
of the world? Say everybody's odds that aren't in the playoffs are the same, and you won't get teams that are being so egregious with it. But I digress. The Blazers tonight, the percentage chances are not great, but they cannot get picks 9 through 5.
No.
It is not mathematically possible. It cannot happen. It will not happen.
It's funny to me that that's how it works. I mean, I guess from a mathematical standpoint, I get it. It's just funny how there's not a possible equation where you end up with the 7th overall pick.
So the Blazers social media is doing this. They're trying to be all cutesy, and they're like, hey, what's the percentage chances of this? It's 4, just like our chances of that one pick.
Yeah. So you have a better chance of running into your ex at new seasons than the Blazers have at getting the 3rd overall pick or something like that.
So the Blazers are exactly 3.8% chance to get the number one pick.
Right where we wanted to be.
So I did some digging. And I said, oh, all the hopefuls, all us hopefuls hoping we capture that flag tonight.
Yes.
Here are the odds history dating back to 1985.
1985.
Teams that have won the number one pick with less than 5% odds going into the lottery since 85. Can you guess how many teams have had the number one pick with less than 5%
odds?
Because
less than 5.
You may say, why'd you choose that number? One, we're 3.8%, so 5's a nice round number there.
Yes.
But we won the number one pick for Odin. We had 5.63%.
We were the 7th odds, I believe, that year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think we were lower than that.
Were we lower than that?
I'll go look at
I know the odds have evened out, but I thought we were slightly... I thought our odds were I get maybe that's because of the way they changed.
Well, it happened last year.
Atlanta did it last year. I know
so,
that.
Yeah, we were 7th pre-lottery. We had a 5.3% chance going in to get that number one.
I'm going to say it's happened 4 times.
4 times.
Yeah, okay. Knowing Atlanta did it.
Atlanta just did it. Which, if I'm a Blazer fan, I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, we missed our chance. I'm going to go, less than 5%.
Less than 5%.
I'm going to go twice.
6 times.
Six times, okay.
It has happened 6 times. Cleveland's been a couple of those, because remember they had that 3- and 4-year run. It was ridiculous.
So this is back to 85?
It goes back to 1985.
40 years.
40 years.
6 times in 40 years.
6 times.
Not many.
So going in, you know your percentage chance 3.8, but your overall chances of 6 times in 40 years, I can't math that math.
Math that math.
But it ain't great, Bob. Okay? But maybe the basketball gods will reward us.
There is a chance.
Teams with the 10th odds that have jumped into the top 4, because now Blazer fan is like, well, look, if we can't capture the flag,
we got to go draft another guard.
We're going to get in the top 4, baby.
So, so that's 15%. 6 into 40, 15% of the lottery.
Since
somebody
1985.
I've gone.
Less than 5% chance has.
You know what's higher than 3.7 we got?
I was going to say, you know what's higher than 3.8%? 15%.
There you go.
Teams with the 10th odds, exactly where Portland is. Now, they're only there because they lost a coin flip. Their percentages are actually down a little bit because of this tiebreaker. Teams with the 10th odds that have jumped into the top 4 since 1985. Now, I have a caveat to this.
Ooh.
But can you guess how many teams since 1985 have sat where the Blazers are and have jumped into the top 4 since 1985?
Well, if sub 5%, you have 6 times they've gotten the number one overall pick, and now we're going 10 inside the top 4. I'm going to go slightly higher than that. I'll say 8 times it's happened.
Well, it used to be only the top 3 were determined by the lottery, and then when they went to stretching it out the whole way. I'm going to say 3.
Coincidentally, by the way, the one you speak of, how about in 2016? I totally forgot about this. I had to like triple check this with my eyes. It went exactly chalk.
Yeah.
Every pick went where it was supposed to go.
It was crazy. Yeah. I just totally forgot about that.
It's like when you end up with all the number one seeds in the final 4. You're like, oh, all those idiots who just picked chalk ended up being right.
Now, to Swag's point, this process has changed. But I wanted to just do the 85 thing because I did it with the one pick, so I'm doing it with this one. 5.
5 times.
Mm.
5 times. Hawks last year, Lakers, they're 11th in 2019. They jumped into it. The Hornets did in 99, to Swag's point, the Magic and the Sonics because of those things Swag said. Now, here's your caveat. You could say, well, Sprague, they're 10th, but they're kind of 9th too. And I'll say, okay, we can play that game. It'd be 7.
With the 9th pick into the top 4.
With the 9th into the top 4. The Cavs did it in 2014 and the Bulls in 08.
I mean, look.
There's your history of the draft rundown and being in the 10th spot. That is what the history says of the NBA draft.
It's a very slim chance. It's a very slim chance that something positive happens tonight. I know I am famously Mr. Poopy Pants when it comes to this organization. I'm about as down as I've been in a long time. I don't trust the overall vision and leadership, and I'm not quite sure what the direction is. Today's the day where you get positive Patty, man. I mean, this is the day where it all happens on one ping pong ball and everything can change for the future of your organization. And if you get that break, there's a chance that it happens tonight. The odds are not in your favor. They're stacked against you because of the regular season that you just had, and you did not set yourself up to get a decent opportunity at this. But there is an opportunity, and it exists. And if you get lucky tonight, it will change everything for the next 10 years.
83.1% chance you're 10, 11, or 12.
Yep.
So 83%
overwhelming percent chance.
Overwhelming says, now let's go to Tankathon and let's do this.
Our party's going to be over pretty quickly tonight because if you get revealed immediately is, what do we go, 14, right? Is that how many lottery teams there are?
Yes.
Right on that? So you, yep. So you go 14, 13. You pop in at number 12, party's over, TV's off. Everybody's jumping out of a window.
By the way,
where's the bleach?
The Spurs are sitting there with the 14th pick.
Oh, you'll know right away.
And the 8th pick.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Bastards.
Here's the lottery odds. Let's go to Tankathon. The 4th pick in the NBA draft.
Hey! Let's There's go. A positive mojo for we a Monday Charlotte. Of lottery day.
Hell yeah.
The poor Hornets, man.
I don't want to do it again because we may never get back in the top four. No, I did it yesterday and I went 10 times exactly. We got into the top four. Once.
That sounds about like
the
our
rest,
odds.
We didn't we stayed at 10 or we went to 11.
Can we get a frozen envelope tonight? Can somebody freeze our envelope? Can that happen? Can somebody get some ice on that envelope?
Well, I mean, are Portland fans feeling optimistic about this?
There's no reason to be optimistic.
Okay.
But you put on your fake pants, you all pretend for a day, and we try and put our clown paint on and tell ourselves that this could happen. But no. I mean, we went through a regular season that's put us in this position. For one day, we'll all suspend belief, but we know how it's going to go tonight.
Well, I want to talk about a fake internet trade, and there's something about the Blazers and where they do or do not end up that I'm just very curious where we're sitting at on this question, so we'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague, welcome into the second hour. Gundy at the bottom of it at 7:30. He'll join us live from his toilet. We're talking Blazers draft lottery. Next on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It was like one of the only country songs that would come on. I'd be in the back seat singing with it.
Damn right you would be. It's a jam.
Why are you rushing and rushing, man? Life's no fun. Put your feet up. Enjoy the day a little bit.
Yeah. Hope you guys had a nice Mother's Day.
Yeah, you celebrate the bad mommies out there?
I celebrated the bad mommy.
The bad mommy got celebrated.
She had a nice day.
Look at that.
I think. I hope. I mean, she said she did.
Yeah, I mean, they lie to you sometimes, but, you know, you delivered.
We're talking Blazers draft lottery. Gunderson will join us coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Much like the Luka trade, so the Lakers get out in 5, and they're not very competitive, and Luka didn't have a great series. And so the national media wants to jump on and be like,
Nico was right, wasn't he?
And I'm like, no, it doesn't make him right at all. Actually, it still makes him really stupid. You gonna trade a guy like that, you open it up to the whole league, and you get, you know, more than they got.
Yeah, the biggest bidding war possible.
I'm sitting very similar in the same position of the lottery. If the Blazers get the number one pick, there is going to be people that jump on and try to dunk on dirt all day tomorrow. And I'll laugh about it, but, like, realistically, them winning with a 3.8% chance doesn't make what you said or your frustrations about what they did invalid.
No.
The process itself. So if I was to say, if you were to be like, ethical tanking, Sprague. Ethical tanking? Has that worked for... I just went through the history of the draft. Has that been working for teams?
No. Usually the teams with the top four odds end up with the top four pick. The overwhelming majority of the time.
Appreciate that. Most people, I think, listening that watch or follow basketball in any capacity would say, Danny Ainge, pretty good.
Yeah.
Did he ethically... Did he ethically tank?
Are they going to get the number one overall pick tonight?
Did he go get himself the most? I'm just like, I find it interesting how we pick and choose.
The narratives.
Yeah.
That back up the argument that we want to
make. Well, we played our guys, and we didn't just tank, so we're going to get rewarded. But Danny Ainge is really good at what he does, but Danny Ainge didn't do what we did.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to come in tomorrow. I will be celebrating for the most part.
Dude, you can take any shot you want of me. I don't care. All of them are going to be dumb because it's going to be a wrong opinion, but I'll be in here popping champagne tomorrow morning.
That's fine. I will be too. I'm just saying, like, if they do win it, I know that's going to happen. That doesn't make you right out there, person who's going to celebrate and act as if this was all just some master plan that they calculated up with their 3.8% chances over at one center court. If they win it, we're going to be all ecstatic. We got flag. If you get in the top four, I'll also be ecstatic. That doesn't make what you did 100% the right decision.
I can't wait for us to take a point guard with two of our last three top four picks.
Dylan Harper, baby. You are a trailblazer. Run Harper.
And re-sign him. It's going to be a fun offseason. No, I think the opinion has been right all along. I don't think they handled this year the way that they should have. And I think a lot of us saw this coming back in training camp before the year began, just wondering aloud, why are there this many veterans on the team? Why weren't certain guys moved in the offseason? Why is Robert Williams still here? Why is Jeremy Grant still here? We asked a lot of fans asked that question aloud back in August leading into the year, and I think we were ultimately proven right. And I made this point earlier, and I want to make it again, because I do think the getting high on your own supply is a problem that we have in this market, whether it be from a management standpoint of not wanting to trade our own guys, or the fan base saying guys are untouchable, or looking at a small stretch or window of play and then extrapolating it out to make us think that they're going to different places that they're not actually going. I think this playoff run for a lot of different teams has proven us regular season basketball is not a great snapshot of where your team is ultimately at. For a myriad of reasons, whether it be because of players who are in and out of a lineup, whether it be because of a second of a back-to-back, whether it's travel schedules, whether it's guys that are banged up. We are overreacting to a regular season window in which in half of the year, Portland was better defensively and not one of the worst teams in the NBA, and making us think that it's heading in a certain direction, when in reality, when you break it down, they beat a lot of bad teams. And when they beat the good teams in that stretch, they beat teams who didn't have their number one player when they came to Portland or when Portland went to their building. And so I hope it's a simple reminder watching this playoffs that you're not close, man. You're a long ways off. But the reality for you is that at some point, in order to maybe take that next step, it's going to take a miracle. For a lot of organizations, that's what's happened. The Nuggets got a Quesarito in the second round, who turned into a three-time MVP. They had no clue who he was going to be in the NBA, but they essentially won the lottery. The Warriors landed Steph Curry because the Minnesota Timberwolves decided to take Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn with back-to-back picks before him, and if their heads weren't up their ass and they took Curry, the Warriors dynasty doesn't exist. So at some point in your life, you have to, for lack of a better term, for tonight, win the lottery. And I hope that's the case for Portland tonight, although the odds are not great.
If the odds don't break their way and they largely stay where they're at, fall to 11, whatever it is, stay at 10, I have a gut feeling they're not in the Department of Trade, because I've heard the term rookie scale contracts from Joe Cronin too much to think that they're just going to not want to pay a good young player a little amount of money and save on the books. But would you, as a Blazer fan, want them to trade out of 10 to improve the roster immediately? Or would you want them to go, you're not close, you have young players, take another young player? Where would you be at? Because they're claiming, based on their end-of-season pressers, play in, maybe even play off. Well, if you're that close, a trade with a vet or a trade for a player for a team that's not really in a good position, you could make an argument it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think that trading the pick for a win-now player is the correct move for the organization, but there's a part of me that wants them to put their money where their mouth is after the exit interviews and telling us that you're close, you've taken a giant step, and you might already have the superstar on the team. So if that's genuinely how you feel behind the scenes, then unquestionably trading the 12th overall pick is the right move. I disagree with their assessment of where they're at, so I don't think it's the long-term right strategy.
So you want them to use the pick.
But that's what I would prefer.
You're not moving up.
But there's also part of me that's like, all right, that's how you feel? Let's see it. You're telling me you're taking some big step, and you had a, 15-16 win improvement from last year to this year? Mm-hmm. Look how good we were defensively in the second half of the year? Let's go then. Trade the pick and go win next year. Let's see what you got. Mm-hmm. I want them to put their chips in the middle of the table.
Worldwide Wob is a internet personality. I think he does some show stuff on one of the gambling networks. But
he's a great follow.
He's a good he's a diehard basketball. He's a Knicks guy, but he does a lot of content. He's an NBA sicko. I wonder often when I see his stuff, I'm like, how does he have a life?
Yeah, just constantly.
Like the length of the season paired with the content he gives out, I'm just like, do you do anything for fun?
Well, also live narrating occasional police chases.
Yeah,
like out
right.
of nowhere. All right, we got birds in the air.
He proposed a trade yesterday, and it sent Blazer fans through the roof. He wants the Blazers to trade Ant, and in return, we get Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith, and their first round pick.
I mean, I would do it. Yes, 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 yes. Where do I sign? Give me a piece of paper. Let me sign it.
So
where do I sign it?
My follow-up here is like, why would Houston trade
I don't get it.
Their third pick from a couple years ago, their third pick from last year, and a first for a 19-point-per-game guy who doesn't really run offense?
Yeah.
And, man, when he doesn't hit a shot, he doesn't do anything for you.
I mean, I guess the follow-up I would have to that, I agree with your overall assessment. This trade won't happen. We're probably going to give Ant an extension and draft a point guard in this draft. That's what I'm mentally preparing myself for the offseason. Reed Shepard, if I'm right, didn't play a ton this year?
No.
But not because, I don't know if it was because he wasn't ready or if they just didn't need him.
Both.
I know Jabari's been underwhelming and people have been waiting for, he's like one of those, hey, he's guy, he's going to turn a corner at some point. He hasn't quite turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And where's their first pick going to be this year?
Well, they're
20...
they have Phoenix's pick.
Yeah, you're not getting that pick.
I'd probably be a future pick then. I don't know.
Sure, but if it's this year, I mean, it would be their pick, correct? Don't they have their pick Phoenix's?
Look,
I don't know how that works.
If Houston moves up at all, there is, why the hell would you give all that?
They're not
going to
give
Simons.
They're not. I was saying if their pick
that
was like 28th or 27th or whatever at the end of the first round, then maybe it makes sense for them.
Yeah.
Because you're giving up two guys who you have no clue if they're going to turn into something. And I think there'll be what, like, we'll see what happens with the Giannis this offseason. There's going to be a secondary market. We see this a lot in baseball and in the NFL.
Well, we have a relationship with Milwaukee, too. Don't overlook that.
Yeah.
Whoever you've traded with in the past, relationships matter in that industry.
They do.
So if Giannis is to indeed get traded, yeah. Why would Portland not be calling to try to be a third team?
Let me get some scraps here. Or
yes.
Somebody doesn't win the Giannis sweepstakes and, hey, we need another player. Like, we need to take a next step.
Yep.
Who are we looking for? How about a guard who can score 20 a game?
But Gary Trent.
He's going to sign an extension in Portland.
We'll get Gary Trent Jr. back.
Let's bring him back.
Here
baby.
We go.
Let's bring him back.
Will he catch a pass at the end of a game and blow it again? I don't know.
I don't know. But every time he touches it, he will shoot it. That much I know.
It's exciting.
That ball's going in the air.
Let's talk with Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter. It's draft lottery day. I know the percentage chances aren't in Portland's favor, but I'm sitting here and I'm just like, please, please let us capture the flag. Eric Gunderson gives his thoughts for the Daily Ticker coming up next.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
On the Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Spray is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Monday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries and available now at a store near you. It is lottery night in the NBA, a big night for your Portland Trailblazers. And the only man we could think to bring on to talk about this and break it all down is our good friend, our pal, God, Gundy, calm down over there. Eric Gunderson, at Blazer Banter on Twitter, the Blazer Banter Substack. Go give him a follow. Gundy, good morning to you. Let's start with a vibe check at 7:36 on this Monday lottery day. What are the vibes like over at the Blazer Banter Studios?
Hey, you know what? We're positive. We're feeling like, you know, even though it's raining right now, we're feeling like after Peyton Pritchard's amazing Game 3 performance at the Garden, the basketball gods are shining on Oregon. Mm. And who did Cooper Flagg grow up rooting for? The Boston Celtics. I mean, guys, I'm telling you, this is it's all happening. It's gonna happen.
That was the weirdest tie-in to Portland getting success that I've ever heard in my life.
I feel like I just asked a good buddy who is clearly in a bad relationship how their relationship's going, and they're like, no, it's great. Things are great.
She doesn't have sex with him. She just kisses him once in a while.
Dude,
they're friends.
She's wonderful. She doesn't yell at me at all.
Dude, it's interesting because largely and loudly as this show's, you know, representative, there's a narrative on the show because Dirt is like, I don't get what they're doing. Why did we do this last year and the year before, but we didn't do it this year? Don't get it. If they win, it's going to be loud, like, ha-ha, ethical tanking. The history of the draft says ethical tanking doesn't work. So, like,
hey,
I'm very curious why this is a narrative.
Hey, calm down over there.
And also, just, like, if those people are going to be loud if they do win the lottery, what are they going to say if they fall the 11th or 12th spot?
Then I guess it's pitchforks out and everything was a waste of time. And that's the other side of it is, like, and I think, look, like, I'm of two minds about it. Like, yeah, it would have been nice to have the best odds. But then you also look at, you know, you look at a team like Indiana that doesn't ever tank. And, yes, they got lucky with a trade to, you know, Halliburton is this guy. But, like, they've made a ton of moves. I mean, they play, like, 11 guys. And it's like, and they never tank. And they eventually, like, had to, like, go from being restarting to being good again. And it's like, you don't just get there overnight, even if, like, you know, let's say Portland hadn't made the obvious trade and they didn't, like, have any of the success and they fired Chauncey and they're in this situation with a brand new coach and all of a sudden Cooper Flagg falls in their lap. That's going to be great, but they're still probably going to be a 30-win team in year one with Cooper. And so, like, I do think that there is something to be said for, like, building a little bit of an identity and a foundation. And I know that a lot of people were like, oh yeah, well they, you know, did a lot of that at home and they beat a lot of bad teams. And that's true, but they also weren't beating those bad teams last year. So I do think it is a little bit of a bit of progress, even if you, you know, want to get mad about the fact that they, you know, were playing guys late down the stretch, especially that last road trip, which was just like, what are we doing? You know, playing guys 38, 40 minutes on the road in Atlanta when Atlanta needs to win that game. Like, it was just like there, a lot of stuff that, like, down the stretch that I was really pissed about. But I mean, yeah, this is, I'm trying to be positive about it, but,
no, I'd rather be realistic than positive. Like, positive is obviously we all want Cooper Flagg here, whether you root for the Blazers or you cover the Blazers.
The great white hope would be incredible.
It would make the storyline a lot more interesting, a lot of fun. But also, like, we don't need to, like, lie about it. I think you're getting at kind of the point that we've been making all year of what's going on here?
My favorite tank at the end of the season was when they tried to win a game for four quarters and then decided to tank in overtime.
Utah.
What's a Utah game? Overtime. Yeah. They're like, now let's lose the game.
Yeah, let's pull Shaden out that he's played like 40 minutes. And it's like, at least they learned their lesson from last year where they played Shaden like 43 minutes a game and then he got hurt and then he was out of the season. And so, like, I guess you can call that some growth.
Can I ask you, if they get the 10th or 11th pick, would you trade it?
I'd see what I could get from it. I mean, I am of the opinion, though, that, like, unless you're getting an upgrade for that, like a real upgrade with, like, packaging with someone else, I wouldn't necessarily love doing that because – let's say they actually do make good on their goal next year of making the playoffs or making the play-in and being in that mix. This is probably going to be their last chance to get a top 10 pick. So like getting a guy, and it's like, this is also why you draft Schmitz. I know that, or why you hired Schmitz. It's like you hired him, yes, because he knows the best stuff, but I think one of his biggest assets lately, or as a tenure with the Blazers, is finding guys that the rest of the league doesn't value as much as he does. And like Tumani being a great example, I know Phoenix drafted him, but making sure that they got him, I think that it would kind of be a waste to give up that top 10 pick unless you're actually getting someone who's like a starter caliber type player out of it. A little bit like what happened with Denny last year. You know, that to me is the only reasonable way that I could see them trading the pick. But I would not do it to salary dump Jeremy Grant. I don't think I would do it to, you know, make a minor upgrade for like a specialist. Like I would want to do that for a more of a complete player if you're going to give up the 10th pick.
Interesting.
Especially in a draft that's deep.
Yeah, we're talking with Eric Gunderson, our good buddy, Blazer Banter on Twitter. You go give him a follow, Blazer Banter Substack. Covering the Blazers, got great stuff up there. I wanted to ask you about this too, Gundy, because you know, it's interesting. There is a trust level, I think, with this organization with drafting. And I wanted to just kind of get your thoughts. You know, it's a bit of an end of the season, into the offseason kind of question. But they've had three consecutive top seven picks now in the draft. They might end up, we'll find out tonight, where they fall in the lottery.
It's usually judgment time at that point, right?
Right, like, three, I mean, sevens, you know, yeah. One guy, Klingon, I get it if we want to be vague on him. It's 1 year. Scoot's now 2 years in as a number three overall pick, and Shaden Sharpe's now 3 years into his career as a number seven overall pick. I'm just curious to ask you from a bigger picture standpoint, what do you think Portland has in those three players?
I mean, I think with Klingon, they've definitely got like a dude who's going to be a problem and a guy that you need in a West that will soon be dominated by Victor Wembanyama. Like, you absolutely need a dude who's a 7'3 behemoth, one of the best block rates in the league already. He's second to Wemby in block rate or per 36 minutes. And so, like, you need a guy like that. I'm much higher on him and his potential as like a than and I think Scoot. I think the thing with Scoot is he's shown the growth. He works hard, and he just does not have the runway to be his best self right now. Like, he should be the starting point guard. He played better when he started. The team generally played better when he started. And Shaden showed a lot of flashes, but I think it's going to be really interesting what happens with his extension this summer because. Yeah. You know, he was a top pick, but I don't want to be in the business of paying him what Franz Wagner makes or someone like that, where you're paying him off of potential. Like, I think his extension is going to be really interesting. I would be hesitant to like give too much money to him right now. And then also he's got the shoulder thing, which, you know, you can play through that for a few years, but eventually you're going to have to get surgery. And that's 9 months for shoulder surgery. That takes you out. And so I'm very positive on Scoot and Klingon. I think there's a lot there. And Shaden has the talent to be amazing and has shown it. But I am a little, you know, I'm definitely a little hesitant about, like, what an extension would look like for him.
I hate to put you on the spot, but you just got my gears turning a little bit here. If they don't move up into the top four, so they don't hear that 10th pick, or they hear 10th pick is the Trailblazers, because if they don't, they're in the top four. If they're stuck at 10 and you say you don't want to just trade it for some stuff, is there a player caliber that you could give us that you'd say, like, yeah? Because I agree, it is a deep draft. And maybe Schmitz has identified, you know, one of these European players that played in college and says he's going to fall to us and he's going to be perfect for us. Maybe that's the case. Rookie scale contract's a term you hear a lot with this front office. But also, that's the 10th pick. Traditionally speaking, that's not a player that makes an all-star team. So is there a caliber player in your mind that comes to your mind when you think about trading that kind of pick?
Man, you know, that's a great question, Sprague. I mean, one guy that and it's going to be tricky because I think he has a player option. Like, one guy that I thought of is Naz Reid. But I don't think you could do an opt-in if he opts in and then you extend him after the fact. And he's extremely good. He's another big. He's a big that can shoot, so you can play him with Klingon. You know, that is a guy that comes to mind to me. And then, you know, then you're also getting into the conversations that a lot of people have had about, like, Zion Williamson. Like, is that a guy that you're willing to say, like, hey, you know, he's got some health issues. He's got the questions, but also his contract's kind of a football contract. You can pretty much get out of it any summer in the next, like, two summers if you want to. And I think that could be a guy to look at who, you know, people are speculating is not going to be long for New Orleans, although, you know, Joe Dumars came out and was like, oh, you know, we're actually, you know, that's not true, like, to, you know, make sure that the offers are better. But I think a guy like, you know, that is a kind of caliber player. Now, obviously, you'd have to throw in a little bit like another guy just to make the money work. But I mean, Zion, Naz Reid, those are guys that I'm thinking of right now as good enough or really good. That would be like best case scenarios to get someone like that with the 10th pick and a player. But you know, cause Denny didn't come cheap. Denny cost two first round picks last year. So maybe, you know, it could be more expensive than that, but maybe someone like Simons, maybe you throw 10 with Simons and you get, I don't know, you get Anthony, maybe you get Anthony Black, maybe you get a couple of first round picks and you can make it and make it work that way. I'm kind of spinning right now because that Sprague, you caught me off guard.
I should have texted you that. I'm sorry. And I know Naz Reid. I think Naz Reid, the listeners, is like, Naz Reid, really? And I'm
Naz
like,
Reed's a good player.
Do you know if we're going to get a player as good as Naz Reid at the 10th pick? Because
no,
I don't. That's like I think that's your high end.
I'm with you on Zion.
You've hit well.
Zion would love our strip clubs too. On top of it, last one for you, Gundy. Put you on the
Casas Diablo.
Give me a proclamation here. What pick, according to Blazer Banter, to the Blazers end up with tonight?
They're gonna get 4.
Oh, like, there you go.
And you want them to take who?
There you go.
Come on, give me a name.
I'm kind of becoming a con head. I want them to draft con.
Oh my god. No, all right, get out of here. All right, there you go. Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter, at Blazer Banter on Twitter.
Flush the toilet. Thank you.
Give me a break, guys. He can shoot.
There's one Dookie that's good in this draft. We don't want the other one. At Blazer Banter on Twitter.
It's not the white guy I wanted.
All right, we got to go. We're against it. Enjoy the night tonight. We love you, Gundy.
We love you.
And finish your dump, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good morning.
Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter.
Con Knipple.
Con Knipple. With a top 4 pick, Con Knipple.
But he can slash really well.
Blasphemous!
Con with a K.
Con with a K.
Do we know what his middle name is? Because that could be problematic.
I don't want to know. The Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing
Company.
We look
up his middle name.
You know, you can experience your hops differently now with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. They're in the hard seltzer game, baby. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries, and it's available now at a store near you. Some more lottery thoughts. We'll dive back into the NBA playoffs. Somebody retired in the NFL. Does anybody care? We got that coming up in the final hour. Lots to get to. We're back after this on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. A simple thing to keep in mind for tonight with the lottery.
Con Knipple's on the line.
Con, God, if we get Con Knipple, I'm going to lose my
Do you really
mind.
Not like Con Knipple, all jokes aside?
No, with the top 4 pick in the draft, I do not want Con Knipple.
Well, he's trending that way.
Am I wrong on that stance?
I mean, I think the NBA draft.
You guys watched more college basketball than I did.
No, I really didn't.
You probably didn't. Swag, you watched more college basketball than I did. Is Con Knipple a top 4 pick? Well, is that a superstar in the NBA?
Well,
that I don't know yet.
We don't know if the top 4 players are superstars.
He's a freshman.
Oh, I'm not saying we know. Obviously, it's all an unknown. Whether you have the number 1 pick or the number 10 pick, you could end up with anything.
I think it's quarterback. I think the NBA draft is almost a quarterback-type deal.
How tall is Con Knipple?
6'7"?
6'7".
6'7"?
He is a smart knockdown shooter.
Okay.
He's a good cutter.
Good cutter.
I'd text Gundy because Gundy goes, you guys are tripping on Con. I said, well, we're just selling it a little bit for the radio. I like Con Knipple.
I mean, sure, with the 9th pick.
My thing is, I just don't know what's his top-end career.
Yeah,
like, if we're doing the player comp, right? I look at Con Knipple and I'm like, is he just going to be KCP or Caruso? He's going to be somebody that when he goes to the next team, you're like, man, that guy fits in really well
Look
with
that
team.
And now that he's around stars, he's actually a good role player.
And, you know, he's good here, but he's not amazing. But he goes to that, like, that player that goes to the next team and, like, takes that slight little step because it all fits so well. Caruso did this.
He absolutely did.
And KCP did this.
He has, too.
So, like, good player, top 4 worthy, sure. Because that's where it seems to be trending on a lot of mocks, but I don't know what his high-end level is.
Yeah, I'm out on Con Knipple as a top 4 pick, but I've obviously been wrong before. What the hell do I know I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me ask this question. Can anybody out there explain to me why Portland can't end up with the 5th or 9th through 9th pick?
Only the top 4 teams are selected by the lottery, and then it goes in order of your record. So if 4 teams behind them jump them, they slide back. But if the teams ahead of them are
in
the
slots,
top 4, they don't move forward.
Okay.
So 9 through 5 is out.
It's just out.
Scratch it off the list.
Do you understand? You follow
if, you if you're going to jump forward, you jump into a top 4 pick. If That's you, the only way you can jump forward.
If 12, 11, and 10 get chosen and there's no Portland, we're in the top 4. It's a guarantee.
If the 10th pick gets called and your name has not been called, you know that you have a top 4 pick.
Now,
yes.
I'm serious when I ask this. I'm going to allow this for a minute. You see 4. Utah. UC3, Wizards. UC2, where's your heart rate? Because if we get to that second pick and we don't have that envelope opening and I haven't seen that logo yet.
It's not healthy. And they're going to go to commercial right then, too.
I might.
We got to stop playing that sound effect. I can't stand it. It's annoying. I think our listeners hate it. Yeah, we got to stop doing that.
We had one that I feel like was a different sound effect for the heart rate, but that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you go into that second pick having not seen that pinwheel.
Yeah. I mean, it was this way with the Wembanyama one because you knew that they were jumping into the top four.
They were fifth and they jumped in.
And then they weren't fourth and it was you knew it was the Wemby draft. And that was the only chance you had at saving the Damian Lillard era. Because we were definitely going to trade the pick. Remember that? We were definitely going to trade that pick. But not if we got the number one overall pick. Then we were going to take Wemby. We weren't going to trade it. But if it was just outside the top one and we got two or three, that pick was definitely getting traded.
Had they rolled the dice, and it's easy to say this, but had they rolled the dice on Amen at three, I am interested. I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole that I don't need to. It's pointless.
Where would you be?
Yeah.
How would you feel?
Like, just more like how you're building.
Yeah.
Right? Like at that point, Ant's probably without a doubt getting re-signed.
Yeah, because it would make sense. You wouldn't have had back-to-back drafting guards.
Yeah.
So having him on the roster would still make sense.
Dude, he was so good in that Warrior series. It's like going into the offseason if I'm a Rocket fan, like, awesome, we've got Amen Thompson.
Dude, I think you're building around. I think they're genuinely building. Like, that's
they're
the
building
move.
With him and around him, yes, absolutely.
I think he's the now, he's the focal point instead of maybe Jalen Green going forward, which is wild.
I that's might not breathe. If they get to the second pick and I haven't seen the logo, I might not breathe until I'm letting out a yell.
Teddy's going to see me in a light tonight that he's never seen me in.
He's going to wonder why Dad's crying.
He's
going
to want to know what's going on here. He's going to have to console me. Give me the bottle. Give me the pat on the back.
Then he's
going to
be a Nepo fan host, and he's going to be like, I remember the draft. That Dad was crying. I'll never forget it. How old were you? I was one.
Firm memory. I do got a couple of more Blazer questions I want to ask in the final hour of the show. One of them I asked Gundy there that I'm curious to just get the general thought on because I don't know. I think it's a pretty big deal going forward, especially considering how tonight goes. So we'll ask that coming up in the final hour. Crunch Time, as always, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Did you know you can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com? We have not yet talked about the sad Bing Bongs on Saturday. How are our Bing Bongs doing? The Knicks, feeling great. Sky's the limit. And then...
Boy, I was so excited for something that just absolutely
never happened.
Absolutely sucked.
That game was terrible.
Talk about killing vibes.
So how does it go tonight? Do they take a 3-1? Do they pull the Indiana card and say, hey, yeah, sure, game three was bad, but we come back and win game four? Or is that all of a sudden a tied 2-2 series and you're like, oh, the Knicks are definitely going to get eliminated by the Boston Celtics? Is it going to be in six? So we'll have some more on that. A player in the NFL retired. More lottery thoughts. Low to final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.